I did a 20-week study on the tabernacle. We could spend all kinds of time, but I just want to I want to get the gist and make sure that we get to everything that God has for us today. Because we're covered in the righteousness of Christ, we can meet with Him in His holiness. It's here that we have free communication with the Lord and can be justified in our prayers. Now, again, when I say justified in our prayers, I don't just mean justified in asking for stuff, but justified in even having a conversation with the God of the universe.
Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This is part 3 of the Power of Prayer series. Last week, we talked about the Old Testament tabernacle and how it's a model for approaching God, both in prayer and worship, and in relationship with Him in general. This week, we finish the tabernacle and move on to the Lord's Prayer. These two structures, both given by God Himself, show us how we should pray. Later in the session, I share what has really become a parable for prayer in my life, the story about my husband and my daughter in our backyard garden. Whether you're a new believer or a seasoned veteran, understanding prayer is important to all of us. Let's get started.
I think walking into the tabernacle, it's just like when we're in conversation with God and we need to put our sin out to Him, the first thing that we have to do is put our sin out, get it off of us. So by walking in and washing, it's getting the blood off their hands, but it's getting the sin, for us, getting the sin off of us and giving it to God. So they did that. Then they moved to the next step, which for us would be, please, you know, forgive me, help me.
Yeah, yeah. And all in, Nancy, I'm so, I don't want to say proud of you. I mean, I am proud of you though, because I'm so blessed that I remember some of the beginnings of your journey. And I'm so excited to hear. That's a huge statement you just made. A lot of people never get there where you, what you just said, I just want to pause on that and let you recognize and feel good about that.
I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around it. I mean, it's still a struggle.
But what you said about the closer I get to God, the more sinful I feel. And I struggled with that for a long time. I was like, the closer I get to God, the better I should feel.
Right.
And, but it's, you're just right. Yeah, no, really. I just wanted to edify you in that way and tell you and remind you that that Isaiah had that same experience.
Can you tell me what chapter that?
I could make a guess. I could get you in the neighborhood, but we'll look it up later. But he says, well, I want to say 9. It's early because it's when he's being called. It's 9. So, okay. So now, Nancy, when we enter the most holy place, what are the 3 items we find?
Okay. We need to. Exodus 25:31. Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft. Its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. Exodus 25:23.
What was that? What's the piece? What's the item?
A lampstand.
Okay, thanks.
Exodus 25:23. Make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. So it's the table. And Exodus 31. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. So the altar.
Yep. Okay. There's so much I want to do with you guys, and I want to be respectful of your time. So let's quickly talk about the purpose of these 3 items. Don't overthink it. What's the purpose of the lampstand?
Have light.
Yep. What's the purpose of the table? Okay. And obviously, Jesus is the light of the world. God's the light of the world. It's totally symbolic. I'm not trying to skip over that, but don't overthink it. Okay. Guys, I did a 20-week study on the tabernacle. We could spend all kinds of time, but I want to get the gist and make sure that we get to everything that God has for us today. So what's the purpose of the table?
I believe the table was where the bread of presence was.
Very
so
good.
God's presence.
Yes. And also, if you don't ever think of what's the purpose of the table,
put stuff on.
Yeah. So, but spiritually, symbolically, is God just on the table? No, but it's right. That place where you set apart, you set aside. I feel bad rushing over it, but the need to have a practical place where you're sitting down. Like, there are a couple places in my house that I do my quiet time, mm-hmm. you know, sort of that idea,
right.
A place that's set apart. And that leads us into the purpose of the next as well. Do you want to tell me what the purpose of the altar is?
It was for burning the incense. So when they were praying, it was their mm-hmm. prayers going mm-hmm. up to
okay. Okay. The incense is a whole, I mean, that could be a whole study too. Because mm-hmm. we're doing Revelation now, which talks about the prayers of the incense or the prayers of the believers. It's so amazing how it ties back. It's crazy amazing. And again, we can spend a lot of time on that. And we should. But not right now. So we looked pretty closely at the construction of the tabernacle, the details carefully laid out by God himself. And we see this manner in which we're to approach him. The first order of business is atonement for our sins. And I use that word purposely because it's not just confession, it's receiving the atonement. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So there's the confession part, but then there's receiving that the payment was made by somebody else. Mm-hmm. The second... Yeah, I want to read this. So our time of atonement is simply confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. And the blood ran down the altar of burnt offering. So does the blood run down from the cross to cover our sins. Remember when Brittany read that the blood runs down?
Mm-hmm.
The next step is the washing, becoming clean. Jesus has done this work for us. And we pause at the basin to clean ourselves and forgiveness and thank God for it. Thank Jesus for it. And we enter the most holy place. We offer our prayers as sweet incense to God. Because we're covered in the righteousness of Christ, we can meet with him in his holiness. It's here that we have free communication with the Lord and can be justified in our prayers. Now, again, when I say justified in our prayers, I don't just mean justified in asking for stuff, but justified in even having a conversation mm-hmm. with the God of the universe. So the second place in scripture, let's flip over to Matthew 6:9-13. And this is the Lord's Prayer. Here again, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this parallel, but we see a parallel when Jesus tells us how to pray. The disciple says, teach us how to pray. And what he teaches them is a direct correlation to the structure of the tabernacle, which is awesome. We see a time of praise and submission. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So praise, hallowed be your name, Father in heaven, and submission. Then confession, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Before we petition God with our needs, lead us not to temptation, deliver us from evil. That pretty much covers it. Mm-hmm. Finishing again with our submission, even over the things we just prayed about, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And it's a direct correlation to what we just saw in the tabernacle. So we have two really clear examples, one from the Old Testament, from God himself, one from the New Testament, from Jesus himself. That's a really narrow, straight path that you can follow when you think about how do I approach the holy God of the universe, this sinless, perfect God, when I am so utterly imperfect. Mm-hmm. He says, it's okay. Here's the formula, and then you're good. And I talked a few minutes ago about ACTS, which was mine, that someone taught me my freshman year in college. Some people use PRAY, which is pray, repent, praise, repent, ask, yield. Some people use ACTS, which is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Either framework is an appropriate order and puts praise and confession before petitions. Approaching God that way recalls his instruction in scripture and is pleasing to him. And these are examples for approaching God. They're about the relationship with God. A right relationship with God will always include these elements. That's your prayer time, but also your life. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been trying to sort of weave through, that this is about a right relationship with him. It's not just about ACTS when I sit down. It's about my relationship with him is right when I have. And as Brittany and I were talking about, I don't want to undo a younger Christian. I think if you aren't someone who understands what Paul was talking about, pray without ceasing, if you're not someone who's feeling that all day long, want to have a conversation with God, and you are in the structure of when I sit down to pray, I need a framework, use it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also that next step that the framework is organic, that I am confessing all the time.
Right.
And I am praying all the time and I am praising him all the time. And that I don't have to stop before I talk to him, as long as it's actually where my heart is all the time. My heart is consistently in, a song comes on the radio and I'm like, God, you are amazing. I mm-hmm. praise you. And I feel that. And then 10 minutes later, I cut somebody off in traffic, or 10 minutes before, you know what I mean? Like, it can be organic. It can be ever present, all of those. But in order to have a right relationship, all of those elements have to be present. Nancy, you can't always just feel bad about your sin.
Right.
We can't always just be confessing. We can't always just be praising.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because even though I know that praising God is the best way to increase the Holy Spirit in my, in even in my space right this second, I can get in the way. I can quench the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. if I have unconfessed sin.
Right.
So it has to be these elements. If it speaks to you more to have a structured ACTS and that's what you do and you feel good about that, that's perfectly fine and good. But what I'm saying is it's also good to have it consistently present, all of these elements, and that the order, once it's always present, the order is not as important.
Right.
I hate to even say that, because God, your heart is right. The relationship is right because you haven't left any of it out. You said guilty, and I almost wanted to say don't say guilty because God's not the author of guilt. But I know what you meant was convicted.
Mm-hmm.
We feel convicted.
Yes. Yes.
And we know that we have a right relationship with God when we feel convicted. And so if you're not feeling convicted, it talks in the Bible about your conscience being seared. And so you'll know. If you're someone who has had a right relationship and then falls out of a right relationship, you know. You know you need to, and that's a good time to go back to ACTS
yeah.
and get it right and in the right order. But if you're someone who's having a relationship with him all day long, I don't have to wait to praise him
right.
until I confess and stop and pull the car over and say, tell me what I did in the last 10 minutes. I can just praise him.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find that as this organic thing, this is an interesting thing I want to hear from you guys. I do find that as I've matured into this organic relationship, I am asking less stuff. So we talk about supplication.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do a lot of that. I do way more praise, worship, confession. And when stuff comes up, I'm like, God, we need you here. We need you on this. But it's the scales have definitely tipped. When I was younger, it was all about, God, this is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
And less about my confession, my praise, and my adoration. I just know that God's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He's working it out. I'm doing a lot less of my percentage of time with God spent is in asking him to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think you have to be right with God before you really ask him to do anything. Again, because once you're right with God, you might actually change what you ask for. I know you were, because you say that a lot. That's why I looked right at you when I said it. And it's wise. It's
yeah.
wisdom, Nancy, because if you're really in a right relationship with God, you just want his will to be done anyway. And what you really are just asking for then probably comes, just give me peace about it.
Right.
Just help me be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Help me minister to the people that are suffering in it. I just wanted to say that. And I hope I'm not upending anybody who's a new Christian. I really do. I love ACTS. That was my thing.
Yeah.
That was my jam. You know, and especially in college, I mean, I was really militant about ACTS and it felt good. It felt like, gosh, thank you. I'm so glad I have a structure. But later, I don't know, like when you're a teacher, you need like the lesson plan, the objective.
Right.
And then later you're like, here's what I just need to teach you.
Right.
It's
like cooking, you know, when you first
yes.
you have to follow the recipe to the T. And then as you get more in tune with it, you know what you can do. Right. You know how to
yeah.
work with the spices.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let me ask any questions about that part. Okay, I'm going to now shift into this teaching that I really want to give you guys that I hope you're as juiced about as I am. And when I do it on the website, I think probably what I'll do is I'll do this part first, but we'll see. Who knows? I think everybody in this room knows about 14 years ago, my mom passed away. So I won't bore you with that story because I feel like I tell it a lot. But the part of that that's germane to this conversation today is that we prayed, of course, that she wouldn't die. And she died anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very, like, real about that stuff. I don't know. I'm pretty transparent. That sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I really struggled with, at that time, already been a pretty mature Christian. And so I want to be clear that my struggle was not necessarily, are you there, God?
Right.
It actually was, why do I pray?
Right.
if you're just going to do what you're going to do anyway. Mm-hmm. That was really my crisis at that time. And furthermore, I'll tell you, it wasn't a crisis in submission to his sovereignty. I believed that there was a better way. We were looking for the better things that would come. And when you're looking for them, oh my gosh, they're so abundant. Even though it's a death, mm-hmm. I could tell you a list as long as my arm in the last 14 years that has blessed me as a result of my mother's death, which mm-hmm. is a messed up thing to say. I loved my mother. She was like everything. Mm-hmm. But to be able to say there were blessings that came out of that, that's God. Mm-hmm. You have to be watching.
Yeah.
I really had, I'm going to say like a 2-year wrestling with God about prayer. Mm-hmm. I still did it because, you know, you just do it. Mm-hmm. But I was mad mm-hmm. and I was disgruntled is really the word I want to say. You know, I was like, I'll do this, but I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. God, and I also need to say, I really think God is totally okay with all that. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't bother him. He gets it. Yeah. I think Psalm 101:3, maybe, says he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. Mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. find that so comforting. Right. Because it's just like, okay, good.
Right.
That's a low bar. I could live up to that. And so this was really, and I think you said a few minutes ago, the things that, and actually each of us kind of talked about, those things that were really difficult were the things that shaped our faith. Mm-hmm. And so now, of course, you guys all know I'm all about prayer.
Right.
So how did I get from A to B? I want to tell you about that because it's big. So I need you to, I guess I need to make sure that I remind you, and if there are listeners who haven't heard my story about my mom, that I'm not someone who talks about prayer in a lofty way that doesn't understand that sometimes you are just face down and you just don't know what do you even care about what I'm saying to you right now? You did it anyway. I mean, we really thought we were going to get the miracle. My brother's in full-time ministry. I was at that time even a Bible study teacher. I was like, oh, we're going to get the miracle because right. we know what to do with right. it. We're going to tell people. We're going to have the testimony. And we were like, oh, look how bad she's getting. When he pulls her back from this, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. Like till the end, we were like, wait till the miracle happens. Right. This is going to be great. And it did not happen. And that is upsetting, to say the least. So in order to talk about why do we pray when God's going to do what he wants to do anyway, I will tell you, I guess Gianna was about 3 when this analogy occurred to me. So I was still grappling with it. It was in the top of my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. Greg used to have a 2,000 square foot garden in our backyard. Peppers, like he would pick the peppers and they were all over the garage floor when I had a full garage. Like it was just tons and tons and tons and tons of food that came in. He loved these Italian. He jars it and he makes the sausage. It's just great. It's a whole great process. And of course, you know, my little 2.5-year-old toddles over and what does she say? Can I help? And Greg, you guys know Greg. You got to know. The rows were perfectly straight. He would take the some plants should be spaced certain distances apart. Plants should be in certain places so that they get the right sun, you know. And so he was like, it was a work of art when he was done. If one of our children comes over to Greg and says, can I help? The answer is always, of course you can. Even though the rows are still going to be straight, if they listen to him, mm-hmm. the rows will be straight. Stuff will be where it has to be to get enough sun, enough water. They'll be spaced far enough apart so they can grow in a healthy way. But they were in there with him. What was that about? Well, Greg was going to get that garden done that way with or without them. That garden would look that way, whether they were in there or not. But what happened while they were in there is they made a memory. They built a relationship that Gianna felt like she was part of it. So every time she looked at the garden or went into the garden, she felt ownership in it. And that's why we pray. God's going to do what he wants to do anyway, what he knows is best. Greg knows 18 inches is how far apart these plants should be. And she wants to put 2 seeds a centimeter apart. He knows they have to be a certain way. He knows his plan is good. His plan is full of wisdom. And she's 2.5. She doesn't know, but he'll guide her And then she feels ownership. She feels relationship with Greg. She feels ownership in the garden. And we have relationship with God, ownership in the kingdom. And that's why we pray. Mm-hmm. And that could he maybe move the blueberries down 2 rows because it's really important to her? If it doesn't impact the bigger plan of the garden, mm-hmm. sure. If you want the blueberries over here, okay. We'll put the blueberries over here. Or maybe even he would put the blueberries on the edge so she didn't have to trample into the whole thing to pick her blueberries. And so maybe small things will move around because of the relationship and because he wants to lean in and say, yeah, if that works better for you, we can do that. Or sometimes he'll have to say, no, that has to be over here and let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. And over the years, she learns. And eventually, she knows the whole plan. She could map out the garden. She could plant it herself. And that's why we pray. Because, yes, so we're saying, can I help? That's what we're saying when we talk to God. Can I help? Can we talk about this? Can I be impactful in my life and in the lives of the people around me? And God's like, yes, yes, let's do that together. And then when you look back and you see what I did in their lives, you know you were a part of it. And we grew in relationship while you were doing it. That's why we pray.
Good job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And God was so merciful to me to show me that. I'm sitting in the backyard holding Sophia. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm telling you, Gianna was about 2.5 or 3 because I remember that I had Soph. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mom's sitting over under the shade because the baby. And, mm-hmm. and I'm watching this amazing display. Mm-hmm. When I've been seeking God and asking him and asking him and asking him and looking in his word, but disgruntled and so shutting down, not veiling the word to myself because I wasn't able to see it. And so God just gently, when I wasn't even thinking anything about it, he gently was just like, this is what we're doing. You're this little sweet girl to me and I love, we'll do it together. It was amazing analogy for me. Now, God doesn't need us. We recognize that. But he invites us because he loves us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes he just parts the Red Sea and we get to sit back and watch. And that's awesome. But so many more times he brings a believer up off the bench and into the game. Esther, mm-hmm. Rahab, Moses, Joshua, Peter, Paul, all the disciples. Mm-hmm. So many times he'll bring you in. He's going to do it. He's going to get it. He's God. He's going to get it done, but he's bringing these people in. Rahab's my favorite because she was such a mess. Mm-hmm. and all she needed was a tiny little bit. I love that. A tiny little bit of faith.
She got in the hall of faith.
Yes, she did. And you know she's in the line of Jesus.
Yeah, yes. I did know that. Mm-hmm. I just learned
that. Love that. Love that.
Why does God ask us to pray if he's just going to do what he's going to do anyway? Whether you're a longtime believer or brand new to the idea of faith, this is a pressing question. Stay with us for the entire series, and if you miss any, please go to the website or iTunes to catch up. Now more than ever, we really want to hear from you in the comment forum we've set up at studywithfriends.org. This is an important topic, and we want to wrestle through it with you. See you next week. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.